On today's show, NBA analyst John Hollinger calls the Houston Rockets one of the worst organized, least sound teams in the NBA. He even goes so far as to compare Steven Silas to that of a substitute teacher when taking a look at the Houston Rockets coaching situation. Is Hollinger right, or is he completely off base? Let's unpack what he had to say in his criticisms of the Houston Rockets organization on today's show. Plus, we take a look at the NBA Rising Stars game. Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr. will all be taking a part, but one Houston Rocket did not get the nod. Tari Eason, was he snubbed from the Rising Stars game? All that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, a credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you listen to your podcasts, including YouTube. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets part of your day every single day, whether it's on the way to work, on your lunch break, in the gym. Thank you for making LOR part of your day every single day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Joining us now is your weekly co-host, the X's and O's man himself, Ali Khan Bijani. You can follow on Twitter at Rockets_Insider. Here to help unpack a pair of really interesting, albeit damning, kind of statements from the Athletic's John Hollinger in a conversation with the Athletic's Kelly Eco, kind of discussing what the Houston Rockets need to try and do ahead of this year's NBA trade deadline. And near the end of their discussion, John Hollinger kind of unloaded the clip. He emptied the clip towards the Rockets organization, Ali Khan. There's no other way to put it. Hollinger just completely unloaded on the Rockets organizationally, unloaded on Steven Silas a little bit. Do you have any immediate thoughts to preface this before we dive in? And you know, we're going to share verbatim what John Hollinger decided to say, and then we'll share our thoughts on kind of what it means. But anything you want to preface before we dive into what he had to say about the organization?
What was the PER of John Hollinger's statement?
At least 32.3.
In context, PER is something John Hollinger created when he used to work for ESPN. It's like a tracking statistic. But no, I think people want to hear what he said. So let's tell the people what he said.
It's also widely regarded as a garbage stat now. So it's as far as advanced stats are concerned. So let's just go ahead and dive into what John Hollinger had to say. So near the end, after they'd kind of debate what the Houston Rockets could or could not do ahead of the NBA trade deadline, moving on from Eric Gordon, what they have in some of their young core, you know, Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, Jabari Smith Jr. Near the end of this conversation, there are two parts of this that stand out from John Hollinger. We're going to tackle the first one, and then we will tackle the second one, which has to do with Steven Silas. But first, Hollinger says, "The Rockets have young talent. They have enough financial flexibility to add players this summer, and they likely have a high pick coming in. Now they got to try to play real basketball. Look, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. Ask anyone in the league who is the worst organized, least sound team in the NBA, and they will tell you it's the Rockets. They're selfish with the ball, they don't run back on defense, and Gordon wasn't lying. Most of their players' worst habits haven't improved. Even the Rockets' good moments are mostly a triumph of energy and athleticism over solid fundamentals. They play like an AAU team, except they're in the NBA." Wow.
What do you think, Jackson?
I think that, just look, there is a, and for good reason, there is usually a notion that the national media has no idea what's going on in Houston, right? Where for years, right, national media pundits, talking heads, whatever, would chime in, give their two cents on what's going on with Houston. And understandably so, amongst Houstonians, Rockets fans, whatever, there's usually a lot of pushback. Like, hey, you don't know our team. You don't know what's going on here. You have no idea what, you know, like stop chiming in on stuff that you're not, you're either A, not watching the team, whatever. In this case, and I feel like for a lot of this season, when guys from, you know, ESPN, The Athletic, whoever, the national media guys decide to chime in on the Rockets, I feel like they've been pretty much on the money. And
before that, just one comment on that.
Sure.
Why, you know, it's just a question I want people to think about. When local media, and look, I also want to preface by saying, because I've been asked questions, I don't attend games in person like you do, Jackson, anymore. I used to. If I did, I would ask questions, but I don't. I don't attend games. But when local media asks questions or puts quotes out there, like when Jackson or others put their videos out there and the coach or the players are giving their answers, and, you know, those answers are said, why does it take somebody at a national level to say something for people locally to believe it? Sometimes I feel like that's the case, where if it's a national story about the local team, then it's like, oh wow, like, oh my God. But when local guys have been saying something similar for weeks or months, it's not necessarily given the same attention. And it's not just with this, it's like also even with X's and O stuff, or other things as well. I mean, it's just something I want to bring up. But when John says this, right, this brings up a whole conversation about what's going on. And I mean, he's not totally wrong in what he's saying, right? He's saying that they, like, I want to pick out a specific quote from what you just said. He said, they're selfish with the ball, don't run back on defense. And then he said, even the Rockets' good moments are mostly a triumph of energy and athleticism over solid fundamentals. I mean, Jackson, you and I have talked about this. We know they're working hard and they're practicing and they have 2-a-days. They like go in the morning and then like they come back at night. I mean, we know these things are going on behind the scenes, but it's not translating yet, the keyword yet, on the court. And I don't think he was out of line saying that, you know, the team hasn't improved the way you would want them to. Jackson, what do you think?
I think he's on the money. I genuinely think he's on the money. I think that he's been on the money in his criticisms. I think other guys have been on the money in their criticisms with what we're seeing out of the Rockets this season. And the stinger, right, the mic drop line from what he had to say was, they play like an AAU team, except they're in the NBA. I've been saying this for the longest time. A good friend of the program, Roosh Williams, has been saying it for a while. We've been critiquing this team all season long, saying they don't have structure. They don't really have an identity. They just kind of go out there and do their thing between Jalen and Kevin, and it's frustrating, right? And unfortunately, that lack of accountability, that lack of structure, that lack of a clearly defined vision for this team stems as a direct result of the coaching staff. And that's actually John Hollinger's next point that he brings up, is Steven Silas, and kind of pointing out the issues with what Steven Silas has done or hasn't done, I guess, with his time as the Rockets head coach. That's the next part that we want to dive into. We're going to get there in just a moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown in the game. Right now, you can head over to FanDuel right now to take a look at the money line spread for Super Bowl 57, Kansas City Chiefs plus 100. You got the Philadelphia Eagles at minus 118, and a few other of these specials that they've got going on. Philadelphia Eagles to rush for 4+ touchdowns, you can get at plus 1300. Any player to return a punt or kickoff for a touchdown is plus 1200. And then any non-quarterback to have at least one passing touchdown, plus 2000. So for all of those bet odds, head over to FanDuel, check them out. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid on your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, continuing down the rabbit hole that was this conversation with John Hollinger from The Athletic, we unpacked a little bit of his first statement there, and we may circle back and revisit some of what was said in there about bad habits and whatnot, but it was this next one that I thought was really interesting, the next half of what he had to say. And so I'll read this off again, Ali Khan, and then you and I can share our thoughts on what Hollinger had to say. But he goes on to say, look, this wasn't the job Steven Silas signed up for, but it's hard to say he's done much with it. It's his third year, and he's won 24% of his games, which is an average of 19.7 wins per season, and they're on track to have the league's worst record for a third season straight. To put this in context, no other NBA team failed to win 20 games in either of the previous two seasons, even when they only played 72 in the shortened COVID season. And no other team is on track to fall short of 20 this year. People will tell you he's not the right personality to rein in wild players, on or off the court. I've heard him compared to a substitute teacher. And, to be fair, others will tell you the organization never empowered him to do so and has looked the other way when it comes to player discipline, especially regarding Kevin Porter Jr. He does wrap up by saying, for the moment, a coaching change might not be in the Rockets' interests, especially if they don't know who they want to hire. I just don't see any way that they can come back to training camp next year with Silas at the helm and expect anything to be different. Again, the organization probably needs to look a lot deeper than just Silas, but the Rockets can't be anything more than the league's most exciting bad team until they clean up some of the very glaring fundamental failures on both sides of the ball. Ali Khan, immediate reaction.
It's tough, man. It's tough love.
It's not even tough love. This is just tough. This is it's not even, dude, like, okay.
I know you want to sound off. I was hoping you'd go first. You go.
Oh, yeah. He wants me to go. Look, I have said I do not know how many times that I do not feel like Steven Silas is the right coach or the right personality, the right person for this group of guys. I think there is a lot of evidence to support the theory that John Lucas, the lovable hard ass that he is much better suited to coach this team than Silas is at this point. Because there is a certain understanding of, yes, this was not the job Steven Silas signed up for, right? Steven Silas was brought here to coach James Harden. And maybe Silas's system and his basketball philosophy and the way that he believes the game should be played with, you know, a lot of, you know, sharing the basketball and read and react and all this, maybe that would look beautiful in the right circumstance, right? It did look beautiful when he had Luka Doncic at the helm and when he was able to play, you know, orchestrate this level of offense, but with a Dallas Mavericks team with, let's face it, competent NBA players and a perennial MVP candidate in Luka Doncic at the helm. It looked different. It looked better. But now he doesn't have that, right? Kevin Porter Jr. is not Luka. And as much as we would like for Al P to be Jokic or for Jalen Green to be Devin Booker, those guys are not there yet, right? These guys are in year two of their very, hopefully very long and very, you know, just success-laden NBA journeys. They're not there yet. And while I do think that there has been some progress in the past couple seasons about like individual player improvement and stuff, I just think collectively from like across the board, the voice, the mild-mannered approach, the substitute teacher dynamic, if you will, as alluded to by Hollinger, it just doesn't work. I don't think he strikes the right chords with these guys, and they need a different voice. They need a different coach if this team wants to be able to do anything apart from being the worst team in the NBA moving forward. I've said it before, and I will say it again. It is not a matter of if they move on from Steven Silas. It's a matter of when. And I said after the Charlotte loss that if they didn't do it then, if they didn't move on from him then, that they probably weren't going to do it this season. And that's pretty much where I've resigned myself to. I think Steven Silas is probably here for the rest of the season, unless another monumental losing streak happens. But even then, there's less than 40 games left in the season, right? It's probably not going to happen. So in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not super damaging to the development of any of these guys that they have Steven Silas for another half season. But how much more could we see, and how much better would some of these guys look responding to the coaching style of a John Lucas or potentially a Mahmoud Abdel-Fadda potentially in the, you know, in the driver's seat for this Rockets team, as opposed to Steven Silas, who I think his voice is just not the right voice for this group of guys.
I don't disagree with you, Jackson, on the whole voice concept. And I don't disagree with you the need for having a person here who can get the most out of these players, not most schematically, but necessarily most effort wise and technique wise and fundamental wise, right? That's all really important. How do you take these young players and all the hard work they're doing off the court, in practice, outside of practice, how do you get that to translate and show itself in the game? And that for me is what I'm looking to for Steven Silas, or if there is going to be a coaching change, whoever that coach is. But I want to push back a little and just give a different perspective. Not defending, I just want to give a different perspective. John Lucas said something. He was asked something at practice a few days ago about the context was running plays. And the quote, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm not quoting John Lucas exact. He said that you don't necessarily score off of half-court actions or half-court sets. You score off of the defense breaking down from half-court actions and half-court sets. Why I'm saying that is because the Rockets want to play fast. That is not something new. We've talked about this on the SCO. We went into X's and O's details about the importance or the pros and cons of playing fast and what can happen. And if they play fast, they're usually successful because then they get into those advantageous situations. They can do and get those mismatches in attack. But here's the problem. And I'm going to read you a couple stats from the last few games. Okay. This is turnover percentage. I'm going to start in their most recent win versus Detroit and go all the way back until the Sacramento games. 14%. Okay. 21% in their loss to Cleveland. 11% in loss to Washington. 17% loss to Minnesota. 18% in that first loss to Minnesota. 16% against Charlotte. They barely lost to the Lakers. They pushed them, but 7%. 17% against the Clippers. I mean, that's a lot of possessions you're having that end up in turnovers. And what the reason is because these are young players. And I'm going to read you something else, Jackson. Heading into the season, 9 Houston Rockets players are 21 or younger. They had 9 on their roster, 21 or younger. And tell me how many of these have actually gotten the chance or gotten reasonably good playing time. Josh Christopher, Tari Eason, Usman Garuba, Jalen Green, Kevin Martin Jr., Dacia Nix, Alperen Şengün, Jabari Smith Jr., Ty Washington. Now, what's a very common thing for most of them? Josh Christopher, 1 year in college. Tari Eason, 2. Garuba, internationally. Jalen Green, 1 year G League Ignite. KJ Martin, came straight. Dacia Nix, 1 year college. Alperen Şengün, international, has gaming experience, which is why he's a little more polished. Jabari Smith Jr., 1 year in college. Ty Washington, 1 year in college. Not a lot of professional game experience. Collegiately, even if you have the international, it's not a lot of professional game experience. And why do I think that's important? Fundamentals happen when you play, when you're able to grow on the court, when you're able to do things. That's why people who are those four-year players in college, let's look at Andrew Nembhard with Indiana, right? For give you an example, a guy who comes and plays well. A good example who's found success, Jalen Brunson, played 4 years at Villanova, came in the league. He's earned himself a good deal. Those four-year players tend to come in a lot more polished. I think that that's something we also have to consider in this situation. Yeah, it's young. It's all these things. But this is a group of potentially high-ceiling players who have not played enough for them to develop these fundamentals, who have not played enough to be able to go on the court and showcase these things. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen, and I'm not giving this as an excuse. I'm just providing some context that, you know what, Hollinger is right. The effort isn't there. Sometimes they don't play with that structure or that organization that you would want to see. And even Steven Silas is like, you shouldn't be using youth and all these things as excuses. But that being said, we have to remind ourselves too, this is a very young team. And not just a very young team, a very inexperienced team. Inexperienced, not in the sake of playing basketball games, but also just working on their fundamentals, working on their games, working to translate what they're good at, their strengths, onto the court, learning what their playing style is like in the NBA level, learning what roles they may best fit into, right? So, you know, we can think of all these things, but I just want to be able to provide this context that, you know, I don't disagree with what John Hollinger is saying, but I also don't think it tells the whole truth or the whole picture of what is actually going on with Rockets basketball this season.
And it's tough in even just one, you know, 30-minute podcast here to paint a full picture, which is why, shameless plug, you should check out LOR every day of the week because we talk about this team all the time, but to gain a more accurate picture of what's going on. But I do think he hits on a lot of the core issues that we find ourselves with this current team, with the current direction of the franchise. And, you know, just to reiterate, I think the context that you provide is fantastic. It is a young team for sure, but you could be a young team and still have expectations. You can be in a young team and you can still have a coach who requires accountability from your players. You can be a young team and you can have, I've said it before, the one thing I can't excuse is bad effort, right? If this Rockets team gave consistently good effort every single night that they were on the floor,
100%.
You wouldn't hear me harping nearly as much. But the problem is they go out there and they give bad effort a lot of the time. They don't get back in transition. They do play selfish basketball. They don't look to get others involved, right? If they were doing all the little right things and like just shots weren't going in, they're getting beat based on talent alone, fine. You're a young team. You're getting outmatched because it's the NBA, right? But that's where I think he really hits the nail on the head is there's just, you know, almost to an extent of saying, you know, like Steven Silas might have lost this Rockets locker room. Maybe, you know, guys just, they're not playing hard for him anymore. That's the one thing you could say for him is the guys were playing hard for him every game.
That's the key. I mean, you can do all the things you want to. You can figure out and grow these fundamentals all you want to. But unless you play hard, a lot of these things that he's even trying to implement aren't going to come true or are going to play well, right? You want to play reading react and you want to play a 5-out system that attacks crevices in the defense and does all these things. You have to be able to, you know, show effort to make that happen. Offensive rebounding, you know, just one context. Why are the Rockets leading the league in offensive rebounding? Because they've been a very, very, very poor transition defense team for the last two seasons. Might as well, if you're going to not get back in transition, go up front and get the offensive rebound, right? If they were a better transition defense team and not giving 20, 25 points sometimes to these teams, right? If they were doing things, not having careless turnovers with high turnover percentage, I just read out to you earlier, which leads to those easy opportunities and then deflates this team, right? Those are the things that, you know, that take a toll, right? And I know Steven Silas is trying to manage it and learning how to draw the line. He had a really interesting quote, Jackson, earlier, where he talks about, like, Don Nelson used to tell him, you have like six bullets or six things you can use over the course of the season to get your players like riled up to understand, hey, this is serious, or like be able to kind of change the mindset or change the perspective. And he used that in that game when the Rockets, you know, came back in and won against Detroit and Minnesota, right? So it was like he showed himself to be able to, not Detroit, sorry, against Minnesota. So he showed himself to be able to, you know, rally this team. But that being said, like, has not done it consistently, has not been able to show effort, right? You know, but I don't disagree with anything John Hollinger is saying here. But my point is not to defend him as Steven Silas, not defend the coaching staff, not defend the front office, but to understand the context of, we need to also look at that this is a very young team, and these are also some of the things and issues or context that we have to bring up when we're discussing a young team as well.
What are your thoughts on what John Hollinger had to say about the Houston Rockets? Let us know in the YouTube comments. We read each of those every single day. Let me know your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts on what Hollinger had to say. Is he on the money with his assessment of the Houston Rockets? But coming up, we're going to change gears here a little bit because we did get the news about who would be participating in the NBA Rising Stars game at All-Star Weekend. Three Houston Rockets were named to the team. We're going to talk about those three, but we'll also talk about the one Houston Rocket that was not named to the Rising Stars game this NBA All-Star Weekend and why he should have been. We're going to get there in just one moment, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Are you looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and calories that usually comes along with it? Then you've got to check out Built Bar, because healthy is actually tasty with Built Bar. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, raspberry, strawberry. They've got a huge menu, so many different flavors to choose from. I'm not sure how Built really does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. What's even better is they are healthy. Again, they have 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't even have to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Just walk into your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section and grab a box of Built bars. And if you don't want to walk in person, you can still order them online. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at Built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, Alikon, we know three Houston Rockets have been selected to the NBA Rising Stars competition. And because the Houston Rockets are such a young team, this is the event that we get to look forward to at NBA All-Star Weekend. We also get to look forward to KJ Martin, hopefully redeeming the Houston Rockets in the slam dunk competition after Jalen Green's NFT fiasco last season. So, Rising Stars game, Rockets are being represented by three guys, Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr. Now, Jalen and Alpi played in it during their rookie year. They are back again for their sophomore season. They join other sophomores like Jose Alvarado, Scotty Barnes, Josh Giddey, Trey Murphy, Franz Wagner, you know, a bunch of the other sophomores across the league are joining them. And Jabari Smith Jr. was the rookie selected by the Houston Rockets. But it really feels like Tari Eason should have been included. I feel like he was snubbed a little bit by not being a part of the Rising Stars game. And maybe it's just because they felt like they couldn't have four players from one team participate. Maybe that was the reason. I mean, last year they went with three players. So they had Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jayshon Tate all took place in the Rising Stars game last season. Maybe there's just an upwards limit or something, but it really does feel like Tari Eason should have been included in this, given how well he's played his rookie campaign so far.
Yeah, you know, we talk about with Jayshon Tate and even with KJ Martin, guys you don't have to necessarily draw plays for. I'd like to add Tari Eason into that. And that Tari Eason just plays hard, man. You know, he just plays hard. And the whole term knows for the ball, knowing where the ball is, Tari has that. Let me read you his stats from his last five games in terms of offensive rebounding and just rebounding overall. Against in the two Minnesota games, 5 offensive rebounds in the first game, 9 overall. 3 offensive rebounds in the second, 9 overall. Then against Washington, 2 offensive rebounds, only 3 rebounds overall that day. But against Cleveland and Detroit, 5 offensive rebounds, 11 rebounds overall. 4 offensive rebounds, 10 rebounds overall. This dude is always fighting for the basketball, and a lot of these have come from his starts and playing starter-level minutes or playing higher-level 25-plus minutes a night. And to me, that's really interesting. In the wins against Detroit and against Minnesota, he got more than 8 shot attempts in each of those games. And that's just a recipe from him running the floor in transition, filling the lanes, right? There's different lanes in transition. If you think about it from like there's 5 lanes on the court, you have the 2 rails, you have the 2 slots, and then you have the middle of the floor, right? Tari can run either of those 5 lanes, but what he's really good at especially is running those rails and running that middle of the floor. And if he can just convert some of those easy layups, right? If he can just make some of those easy plays, it'll be easier for Steven Silas and John Lucas to be able to, you know, afford him some playing time. Right, especially in those closing minutes. I know that's something the Rockets fans have wanted to see. How does Tari look in a clutch situation? Because the Rockets seemingly, you know, they maybe have their fair share of blowouts, but they sometimes still play in those close games. How does Tari look in the situation where maybe he's a 4, right? And you have Jabari at the 5, or you have Tari, Jabari, and Alperen Şengün in there. One thing I really liked, especially against Detroit, was that Tari played the 4 alongside Jabari Smith. What I'd like to see, and we've seen a little bit of it, and this is a credit Yes, credit to Steven Silas and the coaching staff. They've been experimenting with putting Alperen Şengün on a wing to kind of take him away and allow Tari and Jabari to anchor some of those defensive lineups or whoever they have in their KJ as well. And they're able to mix up their defensive coverages. You're seeing something, you're seeing some, or more often than not, switching. But then you can also see some trapping, blitzing, hedging come out of it if you need to. A lot more versatility and variability versus when Şengün, it's more limited to a drop scheme. That's what they trust him right now. But when Şengün is on a wing and you have Tari in there, Tari's big, man. He's a tall guy. Like, and he's tall and beefy. He's 6'8". He's a beefy guy. He can stay with those centers a little bit. He can stay and rotate over. And so I've just been really impressed with Tari's growth and development in terms of his recognition. What I'd like to see from him is just continue to work on his skills, work on making the easy pass. If he can just make an easy pass when he's driving against closeouts, which he likes to do, or just driving in transition, making that easy pass, that'll increase his playing time. Knocking down threes consistently. He had a stretch where he was 4 of 7, then he goes 1 of 7, right? Be more consistent shooting, which will come with time. And then also just finishing in transition, finishing easy layup opportunities. If he can get that field goal percentage higher, or just better way to say effective field goal percentage higher, that'll allow us to be able to, prove that he should be on the court a lot more. But I've been very happy with Tari Eason's development. For me, he's one of my favorite players to watch on the team because he always plays hard. Goes back to what your comment was, Jackson, in the second segment. If guys playing hard deserves to have playing time, and a guy like Tari Eason has really impressed. And I will tell you, people around the league rave about Tari Eason and his raw skills and what he has and what the Rockets can do with molding it. And I hope, maybe there's a way he can get into it. I really hope he gets an opportunity to play in the Rising Stars Challenge so other people see it as well.
Man, maybe one of these players is just like, hey, I'm sick, I'm not feeling it that weekend, whatever, and he'll be like one of the substitution players, like, all right, Tari, get in there, go do it, because it would be fantastic for other people to get a little bit more exposed to what he can bring to the table. Although, not to say that there isn't a single name on this list that didn't deserve to be a part of the Rising Stars. I mean, as far as some of the other rookies, you've got Paolo Banchero, Jalen Duren, AJ Griffin, Jaden Ivey, Walker Kessler, Benedict Mathurin, who's been absolutely phenomenal this season, Keegan Murray, Andrew Nimhard, and then Jabari Smith Jr., Jeremy Sohan, Jalen Williams. That rounds out all the rookies. And I don't think there's a single rookie on that list that you can sit here and say, Tari, like, deserves it more than one of those guys. I think there's just a certain limit on spots available, and the Rockets also already had their two names in Jalen and Alp as part of the sophomore group of the Rising Stars. You know what it should have been? They should have axed one of the G League guys and just given one more spot to a rookie and given that to Tari Eason. I don't need to see Mac McClung in the Rising Stars Challenge. I don't need to see it. He's not going to be dunking on anybody. I say that now, and he's going to prove me wrong and go dunk on somebody.
He's going to dunk on Jalen Green because Jalen will be late on a rotation, and he'll. I'm kidding. I'm trying to be.
Oh, he is.
I'm trying to be funny.
Per sources.
I'm trying to be funny, man. Stop it.
What will be cool is from.
He'll actually dunk on Alp. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Then he'll get props like Anthony Edwards gave props to Alp. That's a good player.
Bullshit.
I actually watched that interview with Anthony Edwards talking about Alp. How cool is that? That is really cool, man. I mean, we talk about all the time, players, coaches. I mean, what's unsold last week with the Wizards talking about Alp? The Rockets don't see it. I don't know when they're going to see it, man. Alp is clearly right now your best player. You got to play him more.
Fans, I am so happy.
That shirt is lit. If you have a shirt, an extra I'm happy shirt, and you want to give it to somebody, you can give it to me. I will happily wear it.
He will.
Hey, Houston fans, so happy.
I'll wear it.
Oh my God. All right. No, just based on that attempted pun, do not give this man a shirt. I was going to say, final thought here on the Rising Stars game. One, it will be interesting. It'll be cool to see, Jalen, Alp, Jabari all out there on the court. They may or may not be teammates because of the way that these teams are drafted. But Scoot Henderson will be out there too, as part of the G League brigade of players taking part in the Rising Stars Challenge. It'll be really cool if Scoot Henderson gets paired up with any potential Houston Rockets on his team, and then that might be a look into the future.
A backcourt with Jalen Green, a pick and roll, a dribble handoff with Alperen Şengün, a pick and pop with Jamari Smith Jr., a touchdown pass to a hopefully participating Tari Eason.
I would love to see any and all of those things. Maybe we'll be lucky enough to have Scoot Henderson teamed up with two Houston Rockets rather than just one, so that we can see some of that taking
Inshallah.
Place.
Inshallah.
Oh, do I have the? I don't have the record. Oh, there it is.
Inshallah.
Best soundboard this side of the Mississippi. Got the fast soundboard trigger fingers. With that, Ali Khan, you know the drill. Let everybody know where to track you down at.
Follow me on Twitter at @Rockets_insider. Make sure you're following me on TikTok as well. Film studies go live on TikTok. I'm excited, Jackson. You know why? Because I'm ready to talk about X's and O's with you, man.
It's been a minute. We've had a couple episodes now with no X's and O's talk, even though I introduce you as the X's and O's king every single time. We've just always had other stuff to talk about.
There's Rockets been running some. Right. They've been running some few new actions I want to talk about, man.
Maybe we'll do two X's and O's segments next time you come back instead of just the one that we usually do. Maybe we'll double up because we've been missing out on them as of late, but we'll be on the lookout for that. Anything else you want to chime in before we shut it down?
How's the hinge going?
On that note, that's going to do it for today's episode. That's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Rockets. As always, thank you so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Let me know your thoughts on the John Hollinger stuff in the YouTube comments. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.